The scene in Lima, Peru, during Obama's final international trip as president, captures the essence of Ben Rhodes' intimate memoir. As world leaders anxiously sought reassurance about America's future under Trump, Obama turned to Rhodes in their motorcade and asked a question that revealed his deepest doubts. What if we were wrong? Had they pushed too far with their progressive vision? Despite his public confidence, Obama wondered if perhaps he had been 10 or 20 years too early. This rare moment of vulnerability from a man who had inspired global hope forms the emotional core of Rhodes' account. As Obama's speechwriter, foreign policy advisor, and confidant for nearly a decade, Rhodes provides an unfiltered view into the presidency during a period of extraordinary global change. His perspective isn't just that of a staffer, but of someone who helped shape the administration's voice and vision from campaign days through the final hours in office. Rhodes' journey with Obama began in 2007, when he helped with debate preparation for a relatively unknown senator considering a presidential run. Having witnessed the Iraq War's devastating reality through his work with the Iraq Study Group, soldiers in constant danger, vacant-eyed children, horrific sectarian violence, Rhodes was drawn to Obama's early opposition to the conflict. During that meeting, Rhodes advised Obama to vote against funding the Iraq surge, arguing it contradicted Obama's own position. Obama followed his advice and soon offered Rhodes a campaign position. The early days featured a sense of mission despite long odds. Working from a small Chicago apartment, Rhodes found camaraderie with fellow staffers who believed in something historic while trailing Hillary Clinton by 20 points. His intellectual anchor was Samantha Power, whose interventionist yet anti-Iraq war stance represented their alternative foreign policy vision. When Obama was criticized for saying he'd talk to Iran without preconditions, Rhodes learned to defend Obama's authentic positions against experienced advisors, a stance on diplomatic engagement that would later become a cornerstone of Obama's approach and eventually lead to the Iran nuclear deal. Obama's 2009 Cairo speech aimed to reset America's relationship with the Muslim world. Rhodes gathered diverse input and found Muslims primarily concerned with poverty, corruption, and unemployment, wanting partnerships on education and entrepreneurship while feeling U.S. policy focused only on oil, Israel, and undermining Muslim societies. Obama addressed colonialism and the Cold War, leveraging his unique background to show cultural appreciation while acknowledging universal aspirations. The speech carefully balanced America's unbreakable bond with Israel alongside recognition of the daily humiliations of occupation. When Obama began with Assalamu alaikum, the audience erupted. Years later, a Palestinian-born woman told Rhodes the impact transcended words. The young people saw him, a black man, as president of America, someone who looked like them, and they thought, "Why not me?" This revealed how Obama's very existence as president inspired hope beyond American borders, a recurring theme throughout his presidency. On August 21, 2013, Rhodes learned of a catastrophic chemical weapons attack in Syria during his first vacation in over a year. This crisis stemmed from Obama's earlier warning that chemical weapons use would be a red line that would change my calculus, words that became defining in his presidency. After the attack, nearly everyone advised Obama to strike, with only Dennis McDonough urging caution. Efforts for international support collapsed when British Parliament voted against joining. The Iraq War's legacy had left America approaching military intervention with minimal allies and a resistant Congress. In a surprising move, Obama decided to seek congressional authorization, telling Rhodes, "I've got a big idea." He maintained that presidents alone shouldn't keep America perpetually at war. "It is too easy for a president to go to war. That quote from me in 2007, I agree with that guy. That's who I am." Despite endorsements from foreign policy experts, congressional support never materialized. At the G20 in Russia, Obama reflected candidly, "Maybe we never would have done Rwanda. People always say never again, but they never want to do anything." Days later, Syria agreed to surrender their chemical weapons. The congressional vote was abandoned. thousands of tons of chemical weapons would be removed, far more than military strikes could have eliminated. The war continued, but Obama kept the United States out of it. After Obama asked about his interests, Rhodes maintained a mental, affirmative agenda of places where U.S. engagement could make positive differences: Cuba, Colombia, Burma, exchange programs, and African development. In June 2013, Rhodes met Cuban officials, including Raul Castro's son Alejandro, at a discreet Canadian-hosted meeting in Ottawa. Rhodes began by emphasizing generational change. "I wasn't even born when a lot of this happened. President Obama wasn't even born when the Bay of Pigs took place. He sent me here to look forward." Alejandro expressed surprise at being treated with respect as equals. Pope Francis became an unexpected ally, arranging identical letters delivered to both Obama and Castro. With Iran, a similar opening emerged after Hassan Rouhani's election. Using Oman as intermediary, a secret channel established a framework where Iran would freeze its nuclear program for limited sanctions relief. This led to the first direct presidential contact since 1979, a 15-minute call between Obama and Rouhani. Though the conversation itself was unremarkable, its symbolism moved many, including Rhodes' Iranian-American former assistant, who wept at this gesture of reconciliation. The morning after Trump's victory, Rhodes struggled with sadness while Obama reassured his tearful staff, "We are leaving this country indisputably better off than we found it." After meeting Trump, Obama seemed perplexed that Trump focused on rally sizes rather than substantive issues. Obama quickly convened an NSC meeting on Russian election interference, ordering a comprehensive intelligence review. "We need to learn the lessons about what they did, because they're going to do it again." The briefing revealed extensive Russian meddling aimed at helping Trump. Obama remained composed while Biden appeared incredulous. Their administration would be replaced by the very people Putin had worked to install. On Inauguration Day, Rhodes entered a transformed White House where Obama's photos had been replaced with empty frames. After the ceremony, he joined the small group accompanying the Obamas on their final flight. Obama likened the presidency to Pac-Man. "Sometimes I felt like I was just outrunning people, trying to avoid getting tripped up before I got to the end of the board." They landed at a regional airport with minimal ceremony. Flying back on the nearly empty plane, Rhodes reflected on countless once urgent matters. Lying on the floor of the senior staff cabin, he contemplated Obama's legacy. Recovered markets, idle Iranian centrifuges, refugees in camps, suffering Syrians, Putin's regime, troops in Afghanistan, the Paris Climate Accord, a complex mix of achievements and unfinished business in a world rarely conforming to our highest ideals.